We're doing Chafetz Chaim, we're on page Ein Tet. We were discussing the concept of Ape Tlata, when something was said over in the presence of three people, that sometimes that will allow us to at least make mention of it in conversation. V'da'od, I want you to know further, D'chola etel d'Ape Tlata humitzad ha'omer. The area of leniency that we discussed, that if three people heard it, so then there's room to be more lenient about telling it over. That's only in regards to saying it. Aval mitzad hashomea, de'ainu im hu yodea, teva hashomea, shetechef kshishma yikabel davar ze le'emet al shimon, v'yuchal liyot sheyosif od, we turn the page to page pay, dvarim lignay alav. Let's say, you know, you're going to tell over what you heard. You'll mention it in passing. And the person who hears it, he won't question whether maybe it's true or not. He's going to take it for sure. He's going to say, yeah, I heard that, that's for sure true. And not only that, he might embellish it. He might tell it over, adding details that he invents, or adding his own opinion. To someone like that, it's prohibited to say even an allusion of something negative about your friend, even though you heard it in the presence of three people. So this is most people. Most people, you tell them, you know, I heard so-and-so, was caught stealing. So they're going to go and tell it over, and I heard that he has a history of stealing. Ah, did I say he has a history? I said he was caught once. Once he embellished it, so then that's prohibited on all counts. And if you tell him some information like that, you're causing him to stumble. As we expanded earlier on. Now all of this is even if you don't mention who said it to you. If he just says, you know, that's what I heard about so-and-so. Nonetheless, it is prohibited to tell it over. He says, okay, now after all the details we've just discussed, look here, brother, says the Chafetz Chaim, how a person has to distance himself from this leniency. As we're learning it, we're thinking, hey, so I'm allowed to say this and I'm allowed to say that, says the Chafetz Chaim. Bottom line, it's a good idea to stay away from this. Because in actuality, in reality, it's almost irrelevant. There's almost never an instance where you could tell it over, where you could say a piece of Lashon Hara over just because you heard it in the presence of three, where you wouldn't run into one of the issues that were mentioned. And don't forget that there's an argument whether there's any leniency with regard to saying over Lashon Hara that was said in the presence of three. We were discussing, even if you say there exists such a leniency, there are so many details that limit it. And some say that really there is no such leniency. That's why someone who's concerned for his soul will distance himself from this and will not go telling over Lashon Hara based on this leniency that it was already said over in the presence of three people. So in general, we have to try and train ourselves to talk positive, to tell over positive things about people. It's very tempting to say negative things, but it's a matter of habit. A person can train themselves to talk about positive things. One of the difficulties is that the news is always telling us what's negative. So if you open up the news and you want to discuss what's going on in the world, it sounds like only bad things are going on. And it's hard to notice all the good things that are going on. But really, there are a lot of good things going on. Someone pointed out to me that in many neighborhoods here in Jerusalem, the telephone book will tell you they have a listing of people's names. And then in the back, at least the religious telephone books, there are, you know, two types of telephone books in this country. Even there, you have regular telephone books and religious telephone books. You guys know that? There's a telephone book called Madricha Haredi, the ultra-observant telephone book. What's unique about it? Well, they don't have immodest pictures there in the advertisements in the yellow pages. And they target the observant crowd, And he pointed out to me that many neighborhoods will have in that phone book a section of gemach. That's different individuals set up they set up systems of lending and doing acts of kindness. Or you have here, just within a 5-minute walk, you have about 150 different lending organizations that people run in their home. This person lends out medication. Let's say you ran out of medication, so he has, in case you run out at a time where you can't get a pharmacy, he has all kinds of spare drugs if you can show him that you need it. Another guy has in his house where they'll lend out cribs. In case you have a guest that needs a baby crib, you can get a crib. You have like 5 or 10 of those. Another person has, they lend out chairs. You're making an event in your house, you need chairs, so you could find 10 people within 5 minutes walking distance from here who lend out chairs. You're making a bris milah. There are people who will arrange for you the pillow to carry the baby in. So they have a whole section. There's the names, there's the yellow pages, and then there's the gemach section in the phone book. So he said to me, if you pay attention in observant neighborhoods, you will find that many times there are more pages of the lending societies in the neighborhood than there are names of people. Meaning some families have 4 things that they lend out. They're not only doing one thing. So you have more pages of the gemach section of the phone book than the name section of the phone book. Okay, that's a beautiful thing. I never noticed that. It says something about us. Okay, it won't hit the evening news. They're not going to talk about it, even on Arutz 7. Okay, so we have to try and see the positive and talk about the positive. And what we talk about often affects our attitude, our feelings, our view of people, our view of life, our view of society. Part of what we're learning within the laws of Lashon Hara is also to be accustomed to talk about the positive. And there's also a very big benefit when we're running a home, when we're bringing up children. People who are always talking about what's missing, what's wrong, well, they're training their children to never be happy. If all I'm doing is I'm talking about how the taxes are too high and the city doesn't collect the garbage often enough and the workers are making too much noise in the morning and the children are rowdy on the bus and the bus driver isn't courteous and the system we have with the train, it's too crowdy, I can talk about all kinds of problems and deficiencies in society and I could spend my life complaining. But I'm teaching the children, I'm teaching my family to look at life and see what's wrong with life. I'm teaching them to be dissatisfied with whatever happens. And by training them that way, I'm taking away the biggest gift from them, because then they can never be happy, because they'll always notice what's missing. Whereas if I come home and I share with them what's positive and what's beautiful and what was nice and what was special and what was good and what's nice about Shul and what's special about living in Israel and what's special about living in our century, so then I'm training them to see what's good, and then I'm giving them the greatest gift, I'm enabling them to enjoy life. How many people take a warm shower and think about the idea, I can have a hot shower. Isn't this gorgeous? I didn't have to go and draw water from the well. I didn't have to hack wood in order to build a fire. I can have running water. Never, never, you know, only kings had this much amenities. And even kings, you have to be super wealthy to have what we have in a regular house. You flick on a light, you have light. You flick it off, it turns off. You want cool air, you turn on a fan. Who had such a thing? You know how many servants you needed to have waving a fan at you? And you still didn't get what we get today. A person goes, everywhere we go, we expect it to be pleasant. And we have air conditioning, we have refrigeration, we have freezers. And if you have a drink and it's not cold enough, you take an ice cube and you put it inside. And wow, you have cool. You want hot water, within a second you get boiling water. And here in the yeshiva, we have coffee. You know how much people paid for a bag of tea? Come on, look at what was happening. They risked their lives to get normal tea, right? To go to the East Indies. And we just go up there, we get free, a bag of tea, boiling water. So, the question is how you look at life. You can go up there and say, gee, I hear these are the cheapest teas the yeshiva buys. You could look at it and say, this is the, why don't we have normal tea? Or you could look at it and say, I get free tea over here. This is pretty amazing. It's a question of what I look at. Now, both sides are true. It's true that the yeshiva probably buys the cheapest tea. It's also true that I'm getting free tea. Well, what do I want to look at in life? And it'll affect me and it'll affect my family. It affects life. And it's an attitude. So when we learn these halachot are not constricting. In fact, these halachot are liberating. They're freeing us to see what's positive, to discuss what's positive.